Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is very clear in this chapter 10 of Romans to declare that God brings His people in to the body of Jesus Christ, into that relationship with the Son Jesus Christ through the proclamation of the Word. Without the proclamation of the Word, there will be absolutely no salvation. I think the difficulty in today's church age is that preaching is not regarded as serious. Preaching is regarded as many as really a hindrance to the worship service. They think that the worship service is all about the simple singing of the hymns and going through the motions, maybe confessing your faith and throwing a couple of bucks in the offering plate. But all of this preaching business, that's hindering our worship. But if you go back and you read the Protestant reformers, you'll find out that the understanding of the proclamation of the Word of God from the reformers was that God speaks through His people, through His messenger, the man that He has called to be a preacher. God speaks through this man. God uses this man. This man is a vehicle by which God communicates to His people. How else do you hear the voice of Jesus? Jesus said in John 10 that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Well, how do you hear the voice of Jesus today if it is apart from the Word of God? It's an impossibility. We hear His Word through the preaching, through the teaching, through the ministry of the Word, and as the Holy Spirit attends that Word and applies it to our hearts. That's how we hear the voice of the shepherd. And it's important for us to have that understanding about preaching. Martin Luther once said that the highest form of worship is the proclamation of God's Word. That is central to the worship service, is the preaching of the Word. We don't know how to worship God apart from His Word. God instructs us through His Word how to live for His glory and honor and praise in all of our words and works. He tells us either by principle or by precept, in every area, every turn in our life, how we are to behave as the people of God. And to the degree that we don't know and understand His Word, to that degree we will not be obedient to the God who has redeemed us, reconciled us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's imperative that we be a people of the Word. We be a people who hear the Word, who listen to the Word. The Belgian Confession has a beautiful phrase that says, we are those that bow our necks to the yoke of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And in Him you find rest for your souls. So it's important that we understand that. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The preaching of the gospel to us who are being saved is the power of God unto salvation. Notice how the Apostle is viewing the message of the cross, the message of the gospel. It's God's power to save men. He goes on and he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. How does he do that? Through the preaching of the cross. He brings the understanding of the wise and the prudent to nothing. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Paul is really making a challenge, isn't he? Bring it on. Any one of you worldly philosophers, come forth. Debate the wisdom of God and you'll be made a fool. You'll be one who puts your hand over your mouth and recognize that you spoke just utter foolishness and nonsense. Paul says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But what do? We preach Christ crucified. And apostle says to the Jews, he's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Is that your understanding this morning of the preaching of God's Word? Is your understanding this morning that you can take it or leave it? Is your understanding of the Word of God is, I hope he doesn't go long. Preaching takes up so much of our time of worship. This is the highlight, beloved. This is the centrality of our worship, is to hear a message from God. Not the wisdom of the preacher, not his thoughts, not what's on his heart, but what Scripture declares. This is what we need to hear. The Apostle Paul, notice what he says in verse 13 of our text. He says, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Apostle calls us as the messengers of the gospel to go forth and spread the word, declaring salvation in Jesus Christ. And he says, whoever. Notice there is no distinction. Anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he asks these questions, and these are basically 4 points that I want to get at this morning. Notice what he writes in verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Secondly, he says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Third thing he asks is, how shall they hear without a preacher? And then in verse 15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? That's what I want you to take home this morning from this text. The Apostle Paul addresses how the nations, how the elect, how the sheep of God's pasture will be brought in to the body of Jesus Christ, into union with Him, and it's through the preaching of the gospel. And no matter who it is, they hear the gospel message, if they hear Christ speaking through the messenger, they will be saved. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, to hear the word of Christ. They have been given ears to hear and hearts to believe. And so Paul says, notice verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now this is not a call to worship. This calling upon the Lord here is a calling upon him in salvation. It's a crying out to God for rescue, for redemption. This is an individual then that knows the peril of their state. They know where they are. They know they're without God. They're without hope in the world. They're under the wrath. They're under the curse of God. They need rescue. And they are calling upon the only one who can save them from their sins. You know, the Bible says that there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. There's only one name. And how will they call upon that name? They must call. Beloved, if you're here this morning and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you called upon Him. You have been brought to a state by the Spirit of God to recognize your sin and your depravity, and you're under the wrath and curse of Almighty God, and that you have hope only in the Mediator whom the Holy Spirit shines the light upon and says, run to Him. Run to Christ. Flee to the Savior. He is the rock. He is the refuge. He is the Lamb of God who lays down His life for the sin of His people. The Holy Spirit ministers in this way through the Word, teaching us our sinfulness, but pointing us then to a remedy. The law doesn't do that. The law holds us under sin. The gospel says, come to Jesus. He will say, call upon Him. The call is the call for rescue and redemption. It reminds me, similarly, but not exactly a parallel in comparison here, of the disciples. You remember the disciples when Jesus says, let us go over to the other side of the lake. They get in the boat. Jesus gets in there with them. He goes up and he lays down and he goes to sleep. The storm arose. And the disciples were fearful. And so they come to Jesus and they wake him up and they said, "Lord, we're perishing. Don't you care?" And the scripture says that they were terrified from the storm. Think about that. They were terrified by the storm. The text says that they were more terrified after the Lord awoke from his sleep. Why is that? Because the Lord said to his disciples, "Oh, you little faith, why are you so afraid?" You know, the announcement that Jesus gives to his disciples more often than anything else is "fear not." He appears to them, he says, "Fear not." Fearful, frightful people. God is in their midst. And so Jesus awakes, he stands up, and he says, "Peace, be still." And what happens? The lake is like glass, and the disciples are extremely terrified. Why? God is in the boat. What manner of man is this, who even the wind and the waves obey him? They knew who was standing in the boat with them. God incarnate, God in flesh. Because you read in the Psalms, who is it that controls the wind and the waves? Who is it that says to the proud waves, "Thus far and no further"? Who is the one who makes the wind blow? Where is the storehouse of the wind? Do you know it's coming and it's going? Remember the dialogue with Job? It's God Almighty who does all this. Jesus demonstrates by the stilling of the wind and the waves that he is God. And they were terrified. They cried out, "Lord, save us." Now, why I say it's not an exact parallel, because I don't think they're crying out for eternal life. They had that. Jesus had already spoken and washed them with the water of his word. But they were terrified and they wanted redemption. They wanted rescue. But the one who comes to understand that Christ is the Savior calls out to him for rescue eternally. "Cover me. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Be that refuge for me. My mediator, the scapegoat who took my sins. Be the one who covers me. Be the one who clothes me in your perfect righteousness that I might be acceptable to a holy God. Lord, I call upon you." And then Paul says, notice in verse 14, how are they going to believe in him of whom they have not heard? You see, you can't call on somebody that you don't believe in. And to believe is the Greek term pistos, which means faith. If you don't have faith in him, you're not going to call on him. You see, when you are struggling in your Christian life, when you're going through the difficulties of the Christian life, when you're struggling financially, you struggle in your marriage, you're struggling on the job, whatever it may be, if you don't think that God has the power, the ability to do what he says he can do and will do in Scripture, you won't call upon him. This is very troubling to me because I find too many, far too many, who call on the name of Jesus, when they come into problems in their lives, they don't run to the rock and refuge. The rock that is higher than I. The one that can change my circumstances. The one who has put me where I am by his divine providence. They don't run to him. They run to the expert of the day. Beloved, that's a denial of the sufficiency of Scripture. And when you deny Scripture, you deny God. Because what God says, Scripture says. We must seek out the answers to our problems in God's Word. Because he addresses them. And when we don't call upon him, when we don't run to him, it's an act of disbelief. It's a shame to us as the people of God. You won't call on him unless you believe he has the power. Notice the Heidelberg Catechism says about suffering. 2728 of the Catechism. And the catechism dealing with the suffering says, that when you go through adversity, you can be patient because you believe that God is providentially in control of all things. I can be patient in adversity. I can be thankful in prosperity. And for what is future, I can have confidence in my God and Father that, as Paul says in Romans 8, nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. And that all of my needs will be taken care of by my great shepherd. He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and He's willing also, being a faithful Father. So we run to Him. If we believe He has the power, the ability, and the desire to do so for His children, we run to Him. And this is what Paul is getting at. They're not going to call upon Jesus if they don't believe that He can rescue them. And he says in this next question, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? You have to hear Jesus if you're going to call upon Jesus and believe upon Him. And notice in your translations, if you have an NIV or a New King James Version or a King James Version or an RSV, whatever you have there, there's a mistranslation there. You'll notice the word, the English word of. That's not in the Greek text. What that means, you see, when you hear of somebody, you're not hearing that individual, you're hearing somebody else speak to them. So if somebody calls on the phone and wants to talk to my wife, and they're asking about me or how I'm doing or something, they're not hearing it from me, they're hearing it from my wife. Hearing about me. That's important that we hear about Jesus Christ. But that's not what this text says. And this ought to revolutionize your life when it comes to the proclamation of the Word. Paul is saying here that when a man faithfully declares the Word of God, Christ is speaking through that man. If Christ is speaking through that man, that means you can't just take it or leave it. You can't walk away from here, beloved, being neutral. There is no neutrality. This demands a yes or no answer. It demands either you call upon the only rock and redeemer, Jesus, or you forsake Him and you seek your own way of refuge. The apostle says we must hear Jesus. Now, this is consistent with the teaching of Scripture. You remember with what Jesus said that in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Now Jesus said, there are other sheep that are not of this fold. Them too I must bring in, and they will hear my word, and there will be one shepherd and one fold. Now, how did you come to hear the word of Jesus Christ? Did Jesus come to you personally, physically, in the body, to preach the word of God to you? No, He did not. He preached to you through those whom He has commissioned to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. This is how you heard. You heard Jesus through the preaching of the Word. And what does that mean for you this morning? What does that mean for you young people? For you kids? As you're sitting here hearing the proclamation of the Word. I'm not telling you good thoughts in my mind. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The implication is that you are to bow to the Word of Christ and call upon Him. You are to look to Him with the confidence that He hears the prayers of His people. You remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 5? Cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. God hears the prayers of His people. He cares for His people. This is the Ephesians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says that the Ephesians heard the word of Christ. He says, if indeed you have heard Christ as the truth is in Jesus, how did they hear Jesus? Through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Remember Luke chapter 10? Jesus said, when He sent out His disciples, two by two, to preach the gospel, He says, those who hear you, hear me. And those who hear me, hear the one who sent me. Those who reject you, reject me, And to reject me is to reject the one who sent me. Now reason that out. When I'm preaching the truth of God's Word, to hear what I'm preaching is to hear Christ. And to hear Christ is to hear the Father who sent Jesus Christ as our salvation. To reject what I'm preaching is to reject Jesus Christ, is to reject the Father who sent Christ. There's great implications about hearing the Word of God. Have you thought about that? Have you considered it in that light? How important it is as the people of God to faithfully hear? As I said, it demands a yes or no response. It's either a yea and amen or a hardening of the heart. We need to hear the voice of Christ. Have you heard Him? Have you heard Him? Not simply did you hear about Him. Have you heard Jesus? You young people, have you heard Christ speaking to you through the Word? Have you heard Him say, "Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. For My burden is easy and My yoke is light. You will find rest for your souls in Me." Have you heard Him say, "Repent and believe the gospel"? Have you heard that? You need to hear the Word of Christ. And you parents, you need to bring your children to worship. Faith is going to be worked in your children. It's going to be worked in them as they sit under the ministry of the gospel. As you in the home are ministering to them by opening up the Word of God and fulfilling your covenantal duties, your vows, to pray with your children, to pray for your children, to teach them how to read the Bible, to teach them how to sit in a worship service, to teach them to be prepared for the worship service, preparing your mind the day before to gather together to hear the Word of the King. It's important that we understand that Christ speaks through those whom He commissions to preach the gospel. That's what He says, the Apostle Paul says, the third point. He says, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" As I said, this is the bane of the United States, that preachers are despised. Faithful preachers who preach the Word and call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ are not men who are heard by the world. They are despised. But it's comforting to know that it's been that way from the fall of Adam and Eve. And every faithful proclaimer of the truth has been despised by the world. But it's still the means and method in which God saves sinners. You cannot change the method that sinners might be saved. The church today wants to change the method. Beloved, God has given us the method. He has given us the means. There is no other way to be saved. You will not be saved through a puppet show. You will not be saved by going out in the wilderness in the evening and looking up at the stars in the sky. You will not be saved by simply singing some mantra over and over and over again. You must hear the Word, and Jesus must be heard through that Word. The preacher is necessary. The preacher is essential to the gospel message. He is a man who has been commissioned by God and sent out by the church. Today we have guys that are going out who have not been sent. I've spoken to guys like that before. The independent guys. They go out and start a ministry. Start a church. And I ask the question, "Who sent you?" "What do you mean, who sent me?" God sent me. No. God doesn't send apart from His church. It's the church that sends. Read the book of Acts. We find that very clearly, that principle. That God commissions, God gifts, God calls the men to the ministry. And it's the church that confirms that and sends them out. As a missionary, as an emissary, as a preacher, a pastor of the Word of the true and living God. You don't go out on your own. The church confirms that calling. So therefore, we have a burden placed upon us as the people of God, don't we? You need to know those who are recognized among you, who have the gifts, who have the ability that God has given, and you need to send them to the schools and prepare them that they might go out as missionaries and preachers of the gospel. Beloved, this is a movement of the people of God. This isn't a couple of people. This is us as the people of God. Do you remember when they crossed over the Red Sea? How did they go? Three or four run across and the rest came later? They moved, the whole group moved through the Red Sea as a unit. That's why we have corporate worship. That's why we sing together. We confess our faith together. We hear the Word of God together. We pray together. Because we are the corporate body of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are all engaged together and we all have an aspect of the ministry of the gospel. We have a responsibility. You have gifts. You have abilities that God has given to each one of you. And therefore, each one of us has a responsibility to make sure that men are then commissioned and sent out. Not going on their own, but sent out. So, again, Paul says, how will they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? They must hear. They must call. They must believe. And who do they hear? They hear Christ as the faithful Word is preached. And how is that going to happen? Preachers are sent. Preacher is not to send, go with his own message. He is to go with the message of God. He is an ambassador, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, an ambassador in chains. You know what an ambassador does? An ambassador gives the message of the king. Daniel chapter 2, when a messenger was to go out and was to declare, when the lute and the satrap and the lyre and all that stuff, the music began to play, the people were to bow down and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. The important thing here is that the ambassador simply went and gave the message to the people from the king. He wasn't to mess with the message. He was simply to give the message that the king gave. That's what an ambassador does. And you, as the people of God, need to be discerning to hear from faithful messengers. Many people today are not hearing faithful messengers. Now let me call out some names. Joel Osteen is not a faithful messenger of the gospel. He's a self-help guru who is leading people down the path of destruction. And the people of God, and I don't know how many there may be believers, but people are being led astray by what is not the gospel. There are many places that call themselves the church today that are just simply moralism. You do this and God will be happy with you. God will never be happy with you apart from Jesus Christ. God delights in us because of Christ. God redeems us because of Christ. God makes us lovely in the Beloved One. We are made lovable in Jesus Christ. We are made acceptable unto God in Jesus Christ. And now the fruit of that work, we begin to walk in good works, as the Catechism says, not according to some, but according to all the commandments of God. The preacher preaches the Word. If he doesn't preach the Word, he has not been commissioned by God. He has not been sent by the church. Notice verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And when they are sent, beloved, they declare God's Word faithfully. And you will say, this is a beautiful Word. This is a beautiful Word from my God. God, in His love for His people, sends His Word through men whom He commissions to do that work, to declare, you know what? You have salvation in my Son. You are my redeemed. You are my chosen people, my special people, a chosen generation. You are royal priests. You are a holy nation, and I have set you apart through the blood of my Son and His perfect righteousness to be a people that gathers together to declare His holy praise and then to go out and evangelize the world and call all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel and turn to Jesus Christ. Whether they hear or whether they don't, that's irrelevant for us. You go out and you declare the Word, thus says the King of our souls, Jesus Christ. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful to hear the gospel. The good news that what you cannot do, what you cannot do, Christ did. The gospel is not, what can I do? The gospel is, what did Christ do? The gospel is not do, the gospel is done. And beloved, this is beautiful. The gospel of peace, which brings glad tidings of good things, that declares our God reigns, that declares you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you recognize, beloved? Do you recognize your position before a holy God? Do you recognize your status? Do you recognize the sphere that you dwell in spiritually? You are the loved ones of God. You are the redeemed. You are the forgiven. You are the cleansed. You are the purified. You are the spotless ones in the Lamb Jesus Christ. You are the object of God's favor in His Son. That's who you are. You have been forgiven because the message has come to you and Christ has spoken to your soul by the ministry of the Word and the Spirit, and He has called you unto Himself. You weren't seeking. He was seeking. He's the seeker. And He sought you and He brought you to Himself. And now He says, hear me. Hear my word. The Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, Lord, should I build three tabernacles? And the voice thundered from heaven, this is my well-beloved Son. Hear ye Him. You know, shut up, Peter. Listen to Jesus. Notice Moses and Elijah are there. It's Jesus who you are to hear. Why? Because Moses wrote about Him. Moses spoke about Him. Elijah declared Him. Christ is the fulfillment of the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Hear Christ. This is what the text says this morning. Come to Jesus. Hear His Word. Listen to His Word. Bow your necks to His Word. And remember what His Word says. You are my beloved people. A people that I have set apart to be zealous for good works, for the glory and praise of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. Amen. Shall we pray?